is October 19th, 7:30 in the morning.
9 de octubre a las 7 y media de la mañana. Y esta es la sesión de Fellows de la mañana.
Guys, I just got back into Adobe Connect if you want to put me up to host and see what I can do. Okay. Everybody, we are ready to start our wonderful Monday morning. Are we ready? Are we ready?
Yes.
Love it. I do need to see laptops down. I want to see faces, no glowing lights. Oh, Yuri, I love the way your face is and the glowing light, Yuri. And you're kind of excused because you're alumni, so you're kind of excused if you need to. But everybody else, I want to see eyes up, but I'm not seeing all eyes up. Hello, good people in the back row. Eyes up, looking here, laptop down. Yes, I can see you. I was a teacher first. I have that uncanny capability. So even if you have a tablet, it still counts as a laptop. And if you need to turn it over to stop the glow, you turn it over to stop the glow. Out of respect for our presenters who are here as early as we are, we do want to have our full focus. And that's the only way you're able to soak up the dream. So Alan, good morning. Alan Greenberg is the chair for the At-Large Advisory Committee. And he's going to take us through some wonderful journey about At-Large.
Thank you, Janice. Can we have the first slide? Now here I'm going to tell you something you've never heard about before. What ICANN does is we oversee internet name numbers, things like URLs, facebook.com, and really interesting IP addresses. Now, why do I have that slide there? Do I really think you hadn't heard this before? Probably heard something about a URL if you're here. Reason is, if you go next slide, please. Slide is a year out of date. The current year one hasn't quite been published. When ICANN was started, we had a very small number of real internet users in the world. Most, vast majority of them were still folk universities and research centers and some corporate users. Now, as of last night when I looked, there were 3,207,000,000 and some odd users. And it's a neat counter you can go to on the internet, and it keeps on counting. Every one of those uses the internet because of those things on the previous slide. They may not know what's called a URL, called an IP number, but they can't live without them. And that is ICANN's main domain. The group within ICANN at large, which focuses on user errors, because somehow we break it. If the DNS stops working, if we allocate addresses, specifically names that end up being confusing, then it impacts pretty much all 3-point-something billion people. And one of the reasons we're here. You might ask, how could we really mess it up so bad? Well, life is interesting. You've all looked at a password that you were given or something like that. You looked at it and said, is that a 0 or a 1 or an O? We, for instance, allowed URLs. And we only look at the top-level domains. We can't stop people from doing stupid things higher level. But if we looked at allowed URLs, which could allow you to have an address which said C0M, look an awful lot like a .com. And that could cause real havoc if people put up addresses that looked like or look, just think, ICANN.0RG. They're us. So addresses matter. They matter to all 3-point. Yes, right now it's probably 3.32 billion. I'm making up the number. So it does matter, and it's going to have a real impact as we go ahead. We represent, I don't know why some of the letters are missing. We'll ignore that. What it says is at large represents the interests of users within ICANN. Now, you've all heard the term by now, I'm sure, multi-stakeholder model. And it sort of means we have different people together with opinions. ICANN itself is a multi-stakeholder model. If you look at some of the components within ICANN, the ASO, the GNSO, they are indeed multi-stakeholder models nested within a multi-stakeholder model. And we, in some cases, we can even go deeper than that. Why do we need all those stakeholders? I think they can get everyone and do a good job. Everyone trust me? Sure. Thanks. No, you don't. We have multiple stakeholders, just like we say we want diversity, we want people of different gender from different languages, because they have different points of view. It's an interesting consequence of having different points of view. Don't agree with each other. The challenge we have within ICANN, within the overall multi-stakeholder model, and within the sub-ones, come to agreement on things. Don't bother any of us too much, and that make the internet function well. Right. This is at large. We, a number of years ago, selected different colors for each regions of at large, just to make it a little bit more interesting and help Rex. ICANN has 5 regions within the world, and we map to those regions. Some of them, such as Europe, Asia Pacific, cover vast territories, huge number of participants, huge number of cultures, a huge number of languages. Challenge. Throughout the world, we have groups that have the really imaginative name, large structures, ALSs. We also have individual members in many of the regions, and we will have all regions within a little while. These organizations, our challenge is within at large, is to get in the regions to understand what's happening within ICANN. And at the times when it matters, at the times when there's an intersection, their interests and what we're doing, give them an opportunity to find out what's going on in detail. And in fact, region has leadership. Region each appoints 2 members to the at-large advisory committee. Large advisory committee has 15 people in it. Region selected by the regional at large, or another really imaginative name, RALO. And in addition, the nominating committee of ICANN selects 1 person. I really enjoy coming here. And one of the reasons I enjoy coming, when I look around the room in my meetings, I see a whole bunch of people who started here. I will be quite candid, have the most active, the most interested. Program actually does provide a better background and education for ICANN does in all of its aspects than people just coming into a meeting, dropping in. So these horrible sessions at Janice put 1 a.m. in the morning typically, they're worth it. Some of us are great fans. Next slide. So just to summarize, we have at this point approximately 200 ALSs, 200 at-large structures around the world. Tend to be groups that existed before they became ALSs. They may be computer clubs, associations, learning centers, many of them are internet society. They also have individual users. They're grouped together in the 5 RALO. Now, the ALAC, Large Advisory Committee, is an interesting body in that we have 2 different functions which are very closely related, not quite the same. First of all, we are the body in ICANN. All these other people, and there's tens and hundreds of thousands of them, don't ICANN meetings. Every once in a while we can bring a very small number, not very often. The ALAC members do their best to consult, not easy. When we first started, the wording that was used was ALAC represents the users. And that immediately results in a nice, simple question. Okay, that's nice. How do you contact the 3 billion users, or the 2 billion was at that point, you know? I assume you have all of their email addresses and you regularly send them messages and get answers back from them. And of course, that's ridiculous. That's not never going to happen. The vast majority of users in the world don't even know what the term URL is. They certainly don't know what the DNS is. And nobody knows what ICANN is in terms of statistically. So we don't represent the users as being their individual agents. It is our challenge to try to channel for them, try to represent their needs, even the needs that they're not quite aware of. The largest needs they have are ones that are negative needs. Don't do something like that, cause them harm. And if we do our job, they never see the problem. So we're trying to help make sure that the infrastructure of the world serves the users. And of course, we're only talking about the wires. We're just responsible for names and numbers. Now, in channeling for these people and trying to represent them, can't talk to them all. You have to learn a lot about what's going on in ICANN and do your best to represent them without any communication. There is contact because we do try to contact our ALSs. We get feedback. Very minimal compared to the real total number of users. So there's a real challenge, ALAC, in making sure that we're in touch with the users all over. On the ALAC, although they come from each of the five regions, once they're there to represent users, period. Now, what kinds of things do we do? Well, we participate in the policy development processes. One of the main functions of ICANN is to actually create policy that governs how URLs are used. Example before of the confusingly similar, which we're trying to make to avoid. We participate in other community activities, and I'll talk about that in a minute. In ICANN, pretty much any time a decision is going to be made, substance, a report is typically issued, and it's put out for comments or just that. Anybody can respond. ALAC looks at all of these carefully and says, is there an implication on users? So do we need to look at it? Is there anything that people have forgotten? The large majority of people in ICANN are there because it's part of their business, running part of the infrastructure, or their business, their sorts of businesses rely on it. We're not looking at it from a vested interest of a financial interest. So we tend to look at pretty much everything happening in ICANN and saying, is there a user implication? Provide advice to the board, and notice I use a capital A, means something is so important, we don't just want to comment on it. We want to tell the board this is something you must pay attention to. And of course, we oversee the processes of certifying ALSs and various places and organizations and things like that. Now, a couple of examples are worthwhile of things that the ALAC and at large in general has been responsible for participating in. I just use the term ALAC and at large. They're not interchangeable. ALAC is very much a 15-person committee. Large is the whole structure. So although the ALAC acts on issues on behalf of at large, the whole structure. You can't be at ICANN this week, perhaps the last several meetings, without hearing the terms the IANA transition, potentially the potential for the U.S. government putting up direct control over the group that manages the core DNS information structures. We are talking a lot this week about ICANN accountability. The U.S. government is going to cede control over some of those functions to ICANN. We want to make sure that ICANN will always respond to the needs of the whole internet community, to the multi-stakeholder community. A lot of work going on in that. Why is at large involved? Yes, at a simple level, I could say, well, if they break IANA, no computer in the world will work. And that sort of impacts users. But there's another issue. Large exists within ICANN. That means we need IANA to be working and working well. And very great concern over the things that don't impact users on a direct basis. But without ICANN being here, we're not here. And if we're not here, somebody else going to do the work we're doing. So the overall structure of ICANN does matter to us. The last item is an item that we've been working on off and on for several years, and it's currently at this point going into the ICANN bylaws, and it probably will be approved at this meeting. This is an issue of things, it has a using name to someone who hasn't lived it for several years, policy and implementation. What is that? Well, the GNSO, the group that oversees the rules associated with generic TLDs, creates policy. One of the policies that we created a number of years ago was to allow ICANN to create new generic top-level domains. And whereas a few years ago we had a handful of them, .com, .net, .org, now we have hundreds. And so the policy was created to allow that to happen. It's a very complex process and a whole very complex set of rules. If anyone's ever designed anything, whether it's a house, a boat, a way to run your family, complex things, and you make mistakes. Don't think of everything ahead of time. And so the question is, as you're implementing this complex policy, what do you do when you come upon a question saying, hey, we didn't consider this? Well, in a simple world, you say, let's fix it. In the world where we are trying to make sure that the policies are controlled by the multi-stakeholder model, problem that you have to go back to the multi-stakeholders to ask them how to fix this problem we forgot about. And it's a problem we've been tackling and worrying about within ICANN for a long time, and we're now trying to address it. One of the ways we're addressing it right now is to say, if indeed we policy in the middle of our implementation, have to go back and ask the multi-stakeholders. There are a number of problems there. It may take a very long time to do things. If every time you discover a problem, you have to go back and it's going to take a year to answer it, things are going to slow down. Just think if that happened in your house. And every time you forgot to decide where an electric socket goes, you have to go back to a group to debate it for a year. That would sort of slow things down a bit. And so we're trying to put together policies, and the ALAC has a great concern over that. Number one, the time it takes, because we really do want change for our users. And second of all, what happens if a question comes up where a lot of money involved for the people who are running this? Their interests may not be the same. You get a balance between that. How do you make sure that the end users are considered when money's at stake? So at large, an ALAC has taken a very great interest in this, because helping users, if we do it right, impacting users. Over to you. And I've used up, unfortunately, almost all of my time talking. Now I'll turn it over to you.
The mic on? I said you got lucky. Rafiq's not here yet. So, Elsa?
Hold. Give me a moment.
Hello. For the record, my name is Elsa Saade, and I'm from Lebanon. I'm a first-time fellow, and I work for the Gulf Center for Human Rights. I have two questions, actually, and the first is, I'm a bit curious on what basis you chose the areas. Like, Europe and Asia-Pacific has the Middle East, has Australia, has Southeast Asia, and I think each has different needs and challenges. How did you put them all together? That's my first question. And my second question is, who is it that makes you worried most within the multi-stakeholder than the fact that there's a lot of money included and that it takes time? Thank you.
I can't take credit for the regions. It happened before I was around. The regions were created essentially at the time ICANN was created. We are just at the very final stages of a review, because we are mandated to review the regions on a periodic basis. The recommendations of the review basically say we're not going to make any changes. But individual countries or groups of countries can make changes should they wish. Their span of some of those regions is certainly problematic. Asia-Pacific, largest one. I'm not sure if it's the largest one in terms of area covered. It's certainly the largest one in terms of number of people and number of very diverse groups that it includes. So there are certainly problems associated with that. Some of the more interesting problems are, and here you start seeing the conflicts between, there's two little islands, Gulf of the St. Lawrence in Canada, not very far from me. They're owned by France. They are part of Urallo. They are part of the European region of ICANN. There are a number of islands in the South Pacific that are U.S. protectorates. They're part of North America. It doesn't always make sense. The other thing in the world that has regions is the regional address authorities, the ones that give out IP addresses. Their regions are sort of the same as ours, but not quite. So, for instance, all of the Caribbean islands are within the Latin American Caribbean region in ICANN, but the people who give it addresses look at it much more logically and say, the ones that are really near South America are part of Latin America. The ones that are out in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean are North America. Other groups make the same decision. You look at area codes in telephone, country codes. There are a whole number of Caribbean countries have an area, a country code of one, North America. Made sense the way the wires ran. So I can't tell you exactly how the division was made and why it was made, because it was made a long time ago. We're not likely to change it right now. It causes occasional problems. There's not. You asked a second question, and I don't recall what it is.
Why? Sorry, Alan.
Olivier Crépin-Leblanc is the former chair of the ALAC, and he continually tells me where I've made my mistakes.
So. No, it's not a mistake, not at all, but I've been asked this question as they are, is because they took the list of regions where published at the time. There are some weird things about it, because the UN see Asia as being a very, very large place. You have subdivisions within Asia, but...
Thank you. But I think you asked another question, but I may have missed it.
And I just want to jump in, because Alan...
Yeah.
Would you mind if you take that question, because of our tight time?
Not at all.
To have Rafiq speak and get to the welcome ceremony. But Elsa, if you'd like to walk out with Alan, To answer the question, that would be great. Thank you so much, Alan. And I'll send this PowerPoint to everyone, so you know all that. Alan, thank you again.
You can get my coordinates and address from Janice. Anyone has any questions? I would say if you see me in the hall, approach me, but I do a lot of running. But find me, find my email address, and anything I can do to help, my pleasure.
Thank you again. And, yeah, we are in a very tight schedule because of the welcome ceremony, so without further ado, Rafiq, who is the chair for the non-commercial stakeholder, you on that journey.
Yes. Thank you. Yeah. The chair for the last maybe three or four. So just maybe to present myself. So my name is Rafiq. I'm from Tunisia. And I have been involved in ICANN since 2009. I really enjoy this meeting with you. I know that you have to wake up early, but that's it. Done at breakfast time. So NCAG, or the Non-Commercial Stakeholder Group, is the GNSO. I think you heard about the generic naming supporting organization. That's the space for body to make policy for GTL. So we are structured in kind of maybe, you find it, French way. It sounds complicated, but made in the way that you have the different stakeholders and different interests within the GNSO. And we are the non-commercial. It's an interesting label. It means anyone with a non-commercial, an individual user, can be an NGO, association, non-for-profit, university, or whoever, that it doesn't make any money by using the DAO. All of those, they can join either as an individual or as an organization. And tomorrow we will see the two constituencies who are part of NCAG. So as a group, we are quite diverse. We have people all over the regions. Myself, probably I am the only non-Western chair within the GNSO. So we are quite diverse. We tend to have also diversity of position about issue regarding, so we care about human rights. We care about also the transparency and accountability issues for ICANN. Because even if we are we don't have any financial interest, then we tend to have concern in how things are done, and we try to protect the non-commercial. So we tend, like, for human rights, so that maybe someone will ask how it's relevant, because ICANN has a global innovation role. About ELD, it has impact at the global level, right at the global level. And so we care about need to have, to ensure not infringing your human rights. Like, they made, like, for example, program to have new GTLD, that's not. On the other hand, we are talking a lot about privacy. In particular, I'm not sure how many of you have, when you buy a domain name, you are providing your personal information and link it to that domain, and can be public and be accessible for many parties. And we are trying to avoid a situation how we can protect, how we can limit the access. So on the other hand, also, we care a lot about development, because we have many members. How the new GTLD program was made didn't bring many applicants from developing countries. TLD are from North America, trying to think how that can be fixed. Try to fix that in the beginning, but now. So now we are in session. And yes, we have.
Hello, good morning. My name is Manuel from Mexico. Mm-hmm. I was wondering, wouldn't your activities make more sense within ALEC? Provide a reason for that?
No, because it's different. The ALEC, if you heard about, is about its end user by broad range of issues within ICANN. So even the IP addressing, they care about. They care about, for example, security and advisory role, so they can give to the ICANN board. However, in the GNSO, that's this usually open membership that everyone can participate. Linking those people to make proposals. So we need to see, though, it's not mutually exclusive, and we tend to work with ALAC in several issues. For example, about the issues to have more applicants from developing countries, we work it with. You can be in the two.
Good morning. My name is Sean Ailerou. I'm from South Africa.
Yes.
Could you perhaps expand a little bit more that you think might work to attract more registrants?
That's a good question. And there is now ongoing how the program was implemented. So are the problem that happened. So The new GDLD program like took, and it ended with to produce all the applicant guidebook. It was more than three language, so it included a lot of requirement. And so it was more really already making. They are already in the DNA. So first, it was also about, for example, one the application fees. Well, really, one of the problems. It's not the main problem. All the processes how made, it makes it hard if you are an applicant from developing countries to follow it and to have to invest a lot of, you are not sure to get the string. So there are often those who are already, how to say, industry, in particular like for the registry operators from South Africa. Also another, on the other hand, new countries, I think for Africa, for example, maybe they just made one or two, what they called out, and some kind of, while there was more effort in North Africa, North America. So we try to fix that, try to encourage more the non-for-profit. Now, currently, there is going public about the implementation and reading that, see what how we can improve for the next.
Good morning.
My name is Mirzad. Asghani from Iran, I'm second fellow. I read in news that Eichenberg has waived registrar's responsibility requirement for insurance.
Yes.
This is good news for developing countries because more registrars we expect to be emerging market like Iran. The other side of the coin, I think that it may affect consumers' rights and insurance parts balance. I don't know. I'm not sure about it. What's your idea about that?
Okay. About registrar. Yeah, this is one of the issues. The requirement for our accreditation agreement, it makes it already complicated for those coming from. Waiving is just small, I think, small step. Regarding, I think you are talking about rights and protection. So it's defined all rules and obligations. Why for us, we try to, however, if you get registrar line, the policy that can protect you privacy, but also, in, for example, about, you know, maybe you heard about the process CDRP, which challenging your right to get that domain. So and there is no ongoing process in how to review that. So this when we can have influence, but there is in Iran, and he is planning to follow Iranian laws. That I mean.
Sorry, I mean reducing the requirement for registrars does affect our insurance conditions
this is
a different
kind. You are from developing country, it's hard already to find this insurance companies to give you that, I mean to sell that service, and it was already too expensive to respond to some requirement that has, I mean, really meaningless. So it was just more wave, but keeping some level of service and so on. So it's they find it that the requirement is not really responding to realities in those in developing countries, but you as a customer.
I just want to jump in quickly, and Matagoro, you'll go next. Is everybody good on registry? I think everybody's good, right? We all work in that world. Nobody registrar, registrant. I mean, because, again, this is the kind of session where don't feel like you can't raise your hand and say, I'm a little bit, you know, confused about the relationship or why are we talking about this. And I just want to make sure it's Monday and we jump right into the content. And Rafiq, I really appreciate the way you're going about this and just a nice overview and taking the general questions. But I just want to make sure if anybody at all, just put your hand up and Rafiq would be more than happy to join.
Okay.
Hello, I'm Matagoro Jaber from Tanzania. I'm just working on the issue of the new GTLD and possibly the role of youth, especially from the developing countries, as have had less participation from Africa. Thank you. Should be the message back, especially for youth. I know new GTLD has a number of opportunities from developing countries in Africa.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. I mean, I'm supposed to talk more about non-commercial and the civil society, but yes, why not to get more people to do business? So the message is that in coming years, there will be a new round for new GTLD. And I think the different parts, some parts of the community, they want that we can start soon and try to improve the process to get more of those from developing countries. So we'll try to work hard for that and to improve learning from previous experience. What I can advise, at least, are to follow the process to learn to see what they need, because in the end, it's also business. And so they have, I mean, you can have a TLD for a community. They need to start working on that. So that's the kind of message. The thing is how much you can spend time.
Good morning, Rafif. Rahul Sharma from DSCI, the Council of India. So follow-up question to the next round of GLDs that you mentioned. So is there a formal submission made by your constituency on considering reducing the application fee so that we can have more registries apply for the process?
No, I mean, that's already was already done in the support applicant working group, and we made that recommendation already, and it was near the board in 2011, if I'm not mistaken, already with the existing program, but it didn't work well because it came too late in terms of implement. So that's already existing, but we think more about what other barrier that is restricting the access to.
So the existing fees of $185,000 required for applying
but
for
a you can ask for waiving. If you say that I am a needy applicant, you can ask for waiving, and that your request will be reviewed and so on. There is a process for that to reduce the application fee. But in fact, it's not the main problem, more other issues. Yes,
my name is Mehdi Taghizadeh. I'm from Iran, and I'm a first-time fellow. You said something about the privacy issues, about the whois of domain names. I know that there are some existing services by name companies selling the whois protection as a service, as a paid service. Do you have any plan to make it a right for users and force the registrars to offer this free of charge to everybody that registers the domain name?
Well, the thing, we don't really want to give that. So, but, you know, whois issue is quite old, even older than the IK. There are a lot of interests, like the trademark interest there, the law enforcement police and so on. So for us, we always say that we need to not to give that much access. And there is a work about the proxy and the privacy service. For us, is that I can, a jumping, buying kind of to regulate this and to be told by many registrar. It was not regulated by ICANN before. Now it's evolved and to create a lot of requirements. All this information first and to give access. So, however, we have this process, and there was a lot of, I mean, it was controversy in this summer and first time that one obscure process in ICANN attracted a lot of attention outside ICANN. And I think they received more than 30,000 comments. They never had that. I mean, for us, it's in how ICANN has a lot of power. So in the last contract, the registrar accreditation requirement, that registrar, the guy who sell your domain name, they have never wanted that because it's also the burden for them. And this was a requirement for law enforcement. This is the issue here in enforcement. Unfortunately, it's more than government. As a stakeholder group, we care a lot about human rights. And I mean, we are not talking about making ICANN as really... ICANN is policy. We want ICANN to care about human rights in term and how to do any policy made by ICANN from the standpoint of human rights. We are trying to balance here. Unfortunately, it is still kind of more for trademark interest because they have more resources. That's the truth. So.
Hello, I am Esteban from Argentina. Yeah. I want to know how we divided the non-commercial stakeholder group because, as I understand, many constituencies, at least two.
So, yeah, we are the stakeholder, the two constituencies. So you can join NCNG, but it's not, you don't need necessarily have the non-commercial user constituency. There is the non-for-profit operational. If you are an individual, you can join NCNG, book, or both. So why you want to join? Probably we'll get more information tomorrow because the difference is really about what you want to. The stakeholder group, it's quite, let's say, I mean, the large structure and more they want maybe to focus in specific topics. In the end, we work together. Members, the NCAG members, they will elect at the stakeholder group level. I cannot really give you answer why we have stakeholders. However, the idea is maybe to more people, they can maybe, if you are, you are interested by human rights, maybe probably you want to join NCUC. You are non-for-profit and just you don't, you're concerned that
the operation is, maybe you can go to NPOC. But at the end, you join both. There is no problem. And you are a member of NCHC. And all the policy discussions are done at that level. So I understand that it can be confusing. It's why we have those two layers. However, you are individual. I'm not sure you are individual or...
An individual.
Yeah, you can join NCHC. That's easy. There are several NCHC members here. Join, and then, for example, if you want, you can join NCHC. Oh, Farzi.
Wanted to make an announcement. We are going to have a one-on-one session with you guys, people that are interested in protecting end-user, non-commercial end-user right in ICANN at the ICANN booth on Wednesday at 4 p.m. Rafiq is going to be there. I'm going to be there, and Amar El Sadr is going to be there. And we can give you kind of like face-to-face, one-on-one, how you can get engaged with NCSG or generally with policymaking in ICANN, and also we clear your background and we can give you some sort of guidance on how to get engaged. Oh, yeah, sure. I thought you know already, no? So, I'm Farzan Abadi. I'm an... I'm a... Fellow alumni, yeah, I have been a fellow for 3 times already, yeah.
So, yeah, maybe just to give an, our activities. So tomorrow we have the constituency day, so you can morning one of the constituency session, but the NCSG session is I encourage you to come, so to see what we are discussing. Also, we are encouraging some activities about, there are several sessions. You can join the one in Wednesday morning. I think it's at 10:50. Probably Janice can give you the schedule, please. So that session, you can come and just to understand what we are trying. Yes. So we will have also the session with you guys at 4 p.m. I hope I won't be so boring. I can answer your question one to one. So, I'm have any question. If you want to clarify. Yes, Elza.
I think it might be good to wrap up because we are just a couple minutes away from the ceremony. So I want to just say thank you, Rafiq. I think this was good. And I do hope that you will take advantage, everyone, of coming to the one-on-one at the booth on Wednesday, but also to the others at the non-commercial stakeholder hosts.
Okay. So, yes, tomorrow you can come to NCSG. So in Wednesday we can answer, but you can ask me anytime. And in particular, I know some people would ask about how policy development process, necessarily about NCSG, but I will be happy to explain how you get engaged or involved in working group, how you can participate, maybe some tips and hints how you can. I know that it can be a really complicated experience for many, but I can give you some advices.
And I have his email address. I know where to find him. Oops. So and the other members. So
You can find me on Twitter, too, if you want. So.
The news.
Yes.
So thank you again very much. And I want to remind everybody at 4:45 today, we are in the auditorium, and it is mandatory for everyone. It is part of our sessions. It would be in the morning, but because of our limited times in the morning, we have 4 speaking afternoon today. Rafiq was almost a fellow. Seoul? Seoul meeting, yeah. The memory isn't slipping too badly. Yeah, he was this close to being a fellow when he got snatched away by the nominating committee. Welcome ceremony right now. The welcome from Fadi Shahadi and kind of setting the tone for the week. And then if you have any questions, always go to your coaches today for assistance on sessions. Diana Transition will be heavy today. The ICANN Information Booth and Wisdom and the other alumni there to help you today and all week. And I'm always around. You can email me, Skype me, whatever. So lean on us for help, and let's go to the welcome ceremony.
Right, before you guys leave, I have some cookies if you want. So aww. I'll place it here. Please have it. Thank you.